Well, good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. We've had a beautiful day, as Brother Joel said, both on the inside and the outside. Worship services have a lot of upside benefits to us. First and foremost, they put God before our eyes. Sometimes in this world, we forget about that. One of our phrases we sang in that very first song this evening talked about treading life's maze. And sometimes that dark maze of life can get us confused. We look at the world today and we think, is there any hope? But then we come to places like this and we're reminded. And that's so great to do that. Worship services can encourage us. They can build us up. They can kind of put that fire in our fireplace to keep us going. Sometimes they have a way of stepping on our toes. Sometimes they remind us of things that we could do better and we need to do better at about those things. And so this evening, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, and a little bit in chapter 3. You need your Bible and you need a pen, because we've got lots of things I want you to write down on to kind of look at as we look at some things together. Last 2 weeks, and including tonight, we've been doing this series about deep roots. And this is something I think is found throughout the Bible. Passage Joel read just a moment ago talked about that tree that flourishes. And we'll read that in some other passages in just a moment to talk about that great concept, deep faith in Jesus Christ. The wind blows, but that tree stands. That cold, cold winter, and that tree stands. The harshness of a summer, the hard heat, and the drought, and the no rain, and that tree stands. And the reason why it stands, it has those deep, deep roots. All of us have known people that we could say that describes their life. Might have been a parent or a grandparent, but you look at their lives and they have been through all kinds of things through the years. But one constant they had was that deep, unending faith in Jesus. Sometimes those nights were very dark, but we'll get through this because of Jesus. And so, as we looked at this series, this evening we want to keep looking at this and look at one other aspect, and that is, how do we keep our roots deep? We remind ourselves that Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower, about the one that had no root. He said in Matthew 13, "Other fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. Immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered." And then as Jesus gave the explanation of this in verse 21, "Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away." Stories told of a young boy who spent his summers at his grandparents' house on the Carolina coast. The grandparents had a cabin that just sat a few hundred yards from a cliff that dropped off to the bay. Summer days were spent swimming and fishing and hunting seashells. One summer, when the boy was 10 years old, the grandfather took the grandson to the edge of the cliff, measured back a few feet, and drove a stake into the ground. The grandfather introduced a new word to this boy, and the word was called erosion. Every year, the cliff was wearing away by the rains. When the next summer rolled around, the grandson ran to the edge of the cliff and measured back to the stake. 8 inches had disappeared. You'd never know it, but it was gone. Webster describes and defines erosion as to diminish by degrees, to eat away in slow destruction. It is something that is slow, it is something that's silent, and it's something that's subtle. And it can happen to soil, it can happen to marriages, it can happen to churches, and it can happen to our faith. The great writer C.S. Lewis says, "The safest road to hell is a gradual road. Very few Christians lose their faith by a major blowout. Usually it's that slow, slow leak that gets us in trouble." And so what we want to do this evening is we want to look at just how do I keep my roots deep in Jesus Christ. We've talked about how we get those roots, how we maintain those things, but now how do we keep these things as God wants us to? And this takes us to the book of Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, lots of things I want you to notice here. He begins by saying in verse 6 and verse 7, "Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly planted," or firmly rooted. Other translations say rooted in Christ, And now, being built up in Him, established in your faith, just as you yourselves were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. He begins with this expression, firmly rooted. And that's in the past tense in the Greek language. You have been firmly rooted. We're not talking about putting your roots down for the first time. We're not talking about establishing your faith. You have faith. Now we're going to talk about how do you keep that faith. And this is an agricultural word. This is something farmers would have understood, to get those roots deep into the soil. And then he uses the word built up. And that is a present tense in the Greek language. And that simply is a word that we would use in architecture. It means to build up. You've been firmly planted, and based upon that, now you're built up. Then he uses the expression here, established. Established simply means to be sure or certain. It's the idea that you are established in Jesus Christ. And then he uses the expression instructed. You've been taught. You have learned by Jesus. This is going to be the basis of how you and how I can keep our faith, how we can keep our roots deep in Jesus Christ. Come what may, we stand with Jesus Christ. What's interesting through this section here in the book of Colossians is how he's really establishing this idea of being planted, built, and sure based upon the Word of God. And notice in the book of Colossians how all of this comes back to Jesus Christ. It's all built upon this idea of Jesus. In verse 6, he says, you walk in Him. In Jesus, that's our walk. He would say in verse 7, you are rooted in Him, or you're rooted in Christ. He would also say in verse 7, as we just noticed, you are built up in Christ. He would say in verse 8, these things are according to Him, or according to Christ. He would say, in Christ or in Him, you are complete, verse 10. He would say, in Him, you're circumcised, the idea of a spiritual circumcision. He would say, in Him, you've been buried in baptism, verse 12. And in Him, we are alive. Over and over and over again, it's in Jesus. And again, we have said this in every lesson. Our faith is not in a congregation. Our faith is not in people. Our faith is in Jesus. Congregations come and go. People come and go. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the thing we need to see. Now, from this, I want to share with you three thoughts here from the book of Colossians 2 and 3. Number one, there are those who want to pull your roots up. My grandma would simply say, well, that's just not nice. And it's not. But there are some who do that. Your confidence, your certainty can be moved unless your roots are deep in Jesus Christ. Notice now the flow of the words here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. He says, I say this in order that no one may delude you. Look what he says in verse 8. See to it that no one take you captive, he says. Look in verse 16. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in accordance to these things. Look in verse 18. Let no one keep defrauding you. And then in verse 20, if you've died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you're living in the world, do you submit yourself to them? And what we see is this active movement to pull up the roots. Don't let somebody do that. Don't be deluded. He says over and over, he warns them about these things. And he tells them three ways that this is accomplished. First of all, this comes about and is accomplished, as we see once again back in verse 4, by deluded and persuasive arguments. Arguments that sound reasonable, other translations say. Now keep your ribbon there, if you will. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Notice how this flows in Psalms chapter 1. Don't let somebody pull up your roots. You know what you've been taught. You know what's right. Stay with Jesus. But there's people who want to pull you up from that. So in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of the water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Notice the flow in verse 1. You ever been to, like, walking through the airport or certain stores, and there's people standing there with clipboards? They got to ask you some questions. Will you take a survey? Of course, whenever I see the clipboard, I just want to go this way. So here's somebody, Psalms 1:1, who's walking, and somebody's walking with him. Do not walk, he says, in the path of the counsel of the wicked. But now he's stopped. He's interested. Who's your internet? I can save you money. You stop. You can. Who's your TV provider? I'm sure I can save you money. So you've stopped. And you're listening. And now you're engaging a little bit. Now notice how it flows a little bit more. Not only is he walking, but now he's standing. And then he's sitting down. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about this. I like what you're saying. And do you see that flow there? And so as Paul is warning the brethren about what's taking place there, he's letting them know that one way this happens, one way somebody pulls your roots up, is by telling you things that seem reasonable. And you stop. And you sit. And the next thing you know, somebody has pulled up my roots in Jesus Christ. He also tells them by philosophy and empty deception. He says that in verse 8. He says, see to it that no one take you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men. And then he would say in verse 18, in this regard, he says, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement, the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen. Not taking his stand on the word of God, taking a stand on visions he has seen. Most likely not real visions. Most likely his imagination. Most likely what he wants to be done. But he stands on that and not the word of God. And so there are those who are never content with what God says. There are those who will never consider that God has revealed all things, as Peter says in 2 Peter 1. There are those who are convinced that God's word is not all that we need, but that we need something else. And if we're not careful, they will pull up the roots and trick you out of your prize. Now, from this, we need to look at some things. First of all, if your faith is based upon feelings, they will succeed because you will chase fads of excitement and what is different. Excitement. Different. No one has seen the passage like I want to tell you tonight. I've got a unique way of showing you what the Bible teaches. And when you hear words like that, all kinds of red lights ought to go on. After 2,000 years, you think you see something no one else has ever seen. Stop right there. Be careful. If your faith is based upon others, then they will succeed in pulling your roots up because you'll go wherever the crowd goes. Brother so-and-so can never be wrong. I just love this person. Whatever this guy says, I believe. And off you go. Or if your faith is based upon happiness, they will succeed because anything difficult will cause you to give up and simply to quit. Those are the things that run through that as we consider that. And so again, to see that when the winds of trouble and adversity storm in, it can create doubt in your lives. And when the glitter of today sparkles, it can deceive you. And when the changing spirit of culture comes, it can cause you to be confused and even to compromise what is right. What is the apostle warning the brethren there? There's somebody that wants to mess up your faith. And we need to see that can come from within the church or without the church. That can come from social media. That can come from family members. That can come from podcasts. That can come from listening to things on the internet. That can come from books. That can come from a friend. But what he's saying is there are those who want to pull up your roots. And when they do, no longer will you stand as God wants you to. And so our objective then is to feed on the Bible to be a healthy, strong Christian. I got this from Brent Dinsford a long time ago. He gave a Wednesday night invitation. It was so amazing. I wrote my Bible. And every once in a while, you hear something amazing, mostly from Jason. But when you do, write that in your Bible. And so later on, when you're just flipping through your Bible, you see that. Oh, yeah, that's true. I remember that. If I want to be healthy, strong, I need to feed on the Bible. I need to study the Bible to be an intelligent Christian. So I can recognize false philosophy. So I can recognize things that are wrong. Some people couldn't tell poison if it had poison on the label. And so you recognize that. Why? Because I've studied the Bible. I know what the Bible says. That's going to keep me from being pulled up. That's going to keep me strong in Jesus. Memorize that Bible to be a skillful Christian. How many times are we someplace when we don't have the Bible with us? Oh, if I had my Bible with me. Oh, if I could just put Jason on speed dial, he could answer this question. Memorize that Bible. Get to know that Bible. Jesus, when he was tempted, did not reach in his back pocket and pull out a Bible, but he knew the Bible, didn't he? And the more we know it, the more skillful we will be. Meditate upon that Bible to be a productive Christian, and then apply that Bible to be an obedient Christian. And all these things will help us to remain strong and rooted in Christ as God wants us to be. How do we keep our roots deep? Number one, don't let somebody pull them up. Don't let anybody pull them up. Don't let the dearest friend you have in this world pull them up. Don't let your spouse pull them up. Don't let anybody pull them up, because they belong in Jesus and need to stay there. Secondly, as we think about our lesson, keeping deep roots cannot come from a shallow life. Those two are opposites. If I'm going to have deep roots, I'm going to be deep in Christ. Now let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3, and let's just begin with verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it's account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who has been renewed in the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. What's he talking about here? He's talking about how we keep our roots deep. Number one is keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on things above, and then let the things of the past go. Let the things below go, because they're not going to help you whatsoever. We remember as Jesus entered the great Sermon on the Mount, he told the story about two men. One built his house upon the sand, one upon the rock. The storms came to both men, and the man who had had deep roots, deep foundation, his house stood. So thinking beyond the moment, looking more than just today, looking to eternity, all those things will help us as we walk with Jesus Christ. Thirdly, as we think about the lesson here, keeping the roots deep are the result of choices we make. Let's go down now to verse 12 of Colossians 3. Colossians 3 begins at verse 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Notice these action words he uses. Two times he uses the word put on. Two times he uses the word let. Why do you think the way you think? Well, it's just the way I was born. Wrong. You choose to do that. Why are you sour? Well, I just can't help it. Yes, you can. Why are you joyful? I don't know. Yes, you do know. Because you chose that. That's what Paul is trying to get us to see. The deep roots come about from the right choices we make in Jesus Christ. And so we must continue to make these choices over and over, day after day, as we want Jesus Christ to reign in our life. And so when we have these deep roots, you see more clearly year after year. I go back to Brother Lankford's sermon that Sunday evening when our gospel meeting started. Bamboo, he says, grow quick. Oaks take a long time. Some of you have been Christians for decades. You see things now you didn't see when you were first Christians. You see what really matters in life. You see the importance of fellowship and love and forgiveness and grace. You understand the value of worship. And sometimes it takes a while to get those deep roots to see those things. But what you do is you see more clearly year after year. You see that problems come and go, but God remains. And I dare say if we were all honest, we could all say there's something going on right now in my life that bothers me or I'm worried about. And if I was to ask you, 5 years ago, what did you worry about? I don't remember. Why? Things come, things go. But God, I prayed to God back then, I pray to God today, as Jason's wonderful lesson today reminds us of the value of prayer and how important that is. And so with those deep roots, yeah, you'll have problems and things will be difficult. But one thing you understand is we got through them in the past with the help of God. Don't know how we're going to do it now, but God will help us again. With deep roots, you're not satisfied unless you're bringing the best to the Lord. And that's our theme this year, bringing the best. No more just a lick and a promise, no more just winging things, no more just doing whatever you wanted to do. You're going to pour out your best. Why? Because He is the best. That's what deep roots will do. And so they'll encourage all the men who do things publicly to put time and effort into this. All of our Bible class teachers to put time and effort into those things. Why? Because we want to bring the best. When we're serving one another, when we're helping one another, it's always about bringing the best because that's what God wants us to do. When you have deep roots, the transition from here to there is not so scary. It's not so scary because God is with us. We know what's on the other side of that door. We know what we believe. We know what He has promised. We know because He has told us. And again, when the world gets frightened about such things, we won't be. Why? Because we have deep roots in Jesus Christ. And then your faith just gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger through the years. Look in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is the very thought that the apostle brings out as he talks about that different directions they were going. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, we do not get discouraged. Though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. My insides, my outsides are going different directions. My outsides falling apart. My outsides can't do what I once did. But my insides, they're getting better and better and better. My insides are better today than they were last year. Why? Because of my faith in Jesus Christ. They are being renewed day by day." That's what deep roots will do for you. It will get you places, and it will help you through the years. It's why a man who begins to get serious about things, takes to his heart, someday a congregation looks at him and says, "Won't you serve as a shepherd?" Why? Because of his deep faith, his serving others, and his convictions in Jesus Christ. And these deep roots will keep you just wanting to be with Jesus. They long to be with the Lord. Continue on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 now, down verse 7, verse 8. "For we walk by faith," he says, "and not by sight. For we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." Absent from the body. What's that mean? I prefer to die. I prefer to leave this place. Leave the people I love. Leave the world. This is the only place I've ever been. I've never been to another planet. I've never been anywhere but Earth. But I prefer to leave here if I could be with the Lord. That's what deep faith will do for you. Deep faith will make you realize that this is all temporary. This is all stuff that just gets us ready for the next place. And how important it is for us to do that. And so, again, what we see is that through wars, through trials, through troubles, is that deep, deep faith in Jesus had made all the difference. Back to the book of Colossians, if you will. Let's go to chapter 4 real quickly. Colossians chapter 4. And let's grab verse 12 and verse 13. Where here he mentions Epaphras. He says, Epaphras, who's one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect, fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Epaphras, somebody had a deep faith, a deep concern, and a deep love in the Lord. And so as we wrap up this series about deep roots, it's not enough to say I had them. I had them at one time in my life, but somebody pulled them up. Or something happened in my life tragically, and now I might get blown over by the next storm. It's imperative that we keep our roots deep in Jesus. And through the years, that's the backbone of a congregation. Men and women who have that deep faith in Jesus, they cannot be moved. They're not for sale. They stand with Christ over and over. Love the story of this Navy captain. It's late at night, and as his battleship was coming into port, he saw another light. Looked like another ship. So he radioed ahead and said, "You need to change your position." Message came back from the other light, says, "No, you need to change your position." Message came back, "I am a captain of the United States Navy. You need to change your position." Message came back, "I'm not, but I'm telling you, you better change your position." Once more, the message came, "I am a battleship. Change your position." Message came back, "I am a lighthouse. I cannot be moved. I cannot be moved." And that's what deep faith will do here. Sometimes life can hurt. So many in this congregation have had to bury loved ones. So many have gone through medical tests that you just didn't know the outcome. So many of you have had a marriage ended. So many of you have had trouble in your families. So many of you right now are sitting with health issues. And life can be hard. And life can slap us. And for a lot of people in the world, they will just quit. They'll get angry. They'll say, if there was a God, he wouldn't allow this. But when you have deep, deep roots in Jesus Christ, all this is temporary. We are going to a land where there are no problems. We're going to a land where the Lord loves us and will take care of us. People of God have gone through all kinds of oppression. The Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, on and on history talks about. But the people of God have remained faithful. And the difference it's going to make in your life is having deep roots in Jesus. It's more than just sitting in the pew. It's more than just coming all the time. It's the idea that every single day, my heart, my faith, my trust is in Jesus. And when the world says you have to move, when the world says you have to accept me, when the world says you cannot do that, we just politely answer back, we are the lighthouse of Jesus. We cannot move. And there we stand. This evening, if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Life is hard and you need Jesus. And I hope this little series has helped us to understand, as we have built this theme this year of bringing the best, how important that is. Our Lord has been with his people, including us, for a long, long time. The journey has been long. There's been lots of things that's happened. But God still be God, and we still be the people of Him. And that's what we need to see and appreciate. If we can be of any help to you, want to just sit down and talk, we'd be happy to do that. If you've got some things you want answered, we'll try our best to find it in our Bibles to do that. But let us learn that I will have deep roots if I do the steps that God wants me to do. It doesn't come about just by happening to sit in the pew. It doesn't come about by just happening to be married in the right family. It comes about by the choices we make every single day. If you're subject, why don't you come as we stand and sing.